If everyone will stand, I will quickly read Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. This is Exclusionist Part 3. In the middle of June, we learned of a massive killing in a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. We were first told that a Muslim young man was incensed at some gay men kissing each other while he was in Miami, Florida, in front of his 3-year-old son. He was upset by this public display that was done with no shame as his young son watched. Then we were told a conflicting story that the shooter was a frequent visitor to this gay club called The Pulse. The club was named after John Pulse, who died in 1991 of HIV. We learned that the shooter had gone for over 3 years to the Pulse Club in Orlando. It seems that he was fighting the urge to be a sexual pervert. He was bipolar. Was this a hate crime because he hated the gay lifestyle, or did he? How could this be if he attended this club for 3 years? Was he a bisexual? He mentioned that he did this for ISIS on a 911 phone call while he was at the club. Was he a Muslim terrorist? Then we find out the whole episode took over 3 hours, from 2 a.m. till 5 a.m. There were people in both bathrooms, the shooter in one with about 20 hostages. The police rammed a hole in the wall of the other bathroom to permit the people who were hiding there to escape. The police shortly thereafter shot the mass murderer. What? The murderer was a former security guard? He was on the FBI list of dangerous suspects and was interviewed twice. Over 100 people were either killed or injured. Over 100 people were shot by just one person, a living, modern-day Rambo. There were supposedly over 300 gays in the club when the incident occurred. Most were gay Puerto Ricans. The shooter apparently had sex with two Puerto Rican homosexuals. He even experienced sex with one of these Puerto Rican homosexuals about 20 times until the same-sex lover moved away from Orlando a couple months ago. And even the Atlanta Journal-Constitution posted a story on the Orlando shooting at 8 p.m., 6 hours before it supposedly happened. They gave the casualty list as 20 dead and more than 40 wounded. I am not going to get into why this was a false flag event, which I'm sure that it was, but I want to comment on what the government has done with this story and how our sin of tolerance is leading us down the pathway to hell. The government has used this false flag disaster to push for gun control and to limit our freedom of speech. It is no longer that an American can have an opinion. You are no longer allowed to say anything that is against what the mainstream media tells you what is the situation. If you do, the media will come against you when they find out that you disagree with their statements. The mainstream media will attempt to take your sermon off the YouTube or shut down your website or make fun of you and your beliefs. The Bible is against sodomy. Look at these two Bible verses. The first one is Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. What does this verse say? Now we have a little test. This is the fill-in-the-blank test. Number one, homosexuality is A, something to take pride in, B, an abomination. Two, the two participants in this act are A, to be mourned if they are killed, B, to be put to death by the righteous government. But many Christians take the position there's something wrong with Christianity. It's called the Old Testament. Are you familiar with that homophobic murdering text? Most Christians call it the Jewish text and say it does not apply to Christians. It was part of another dispensation. But it's right there with the Ten Commandments. So let's look at a New Testament verse. I chose Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no way enter into it, meaning New Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither he that worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is he doing that works an abomination? One abomination is the practice of sodomy or homosexuality. The Bible says the LGBT, the lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgendered will not be in the New Jerusalem. If the Bible teaches that all LGBTs are an abomination to the Lord, then how are they the choir directors, pastors, assistant pastors, or even members of local churches? How are the so-called Christian churches reacting? Let's look at some of the churches on both sides of the argument. We'll take first Westboro Baptist Church. I don't know if you know this or not, but about 45 years ago, in the summer, I went with a family from Northern Kentucky, Pastor Joe Gadd, his wife and his three children, to Westboro Baptist Church. I went there. I was living in Eastern Tennessee at the time. Pastor Joe and Pastor Fred Phelps were doing the preaching at the weekend conference. They were both Calvinists. They taught total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and the preservation of the saints. On Monday, Joe and his family went back to Northern Kentucky. I stayed with the Phelps family for a week, helping two of his sons with their job of cutting grass in the neighborhood. They had a job. We went around and cut grass in the neighborhood. I still remember Fred at the dining table referring to one of his erring children who had the name of Nathan. And he called him Nate the Reprobate. Nate is now an atheist, and he left the church at the age of 18. Fred Phelps was a civil rights lawyer. And the church even then was made up of mainly his family. He had 13 children. The church was several decades away from picketing dead soldiers or events, as America hadn't as yet catered to the homosexual crowd, and the Iraqi war had not started. At the time, most locations in the United States had laws against homosexual behavior. After the week was over, I traveled on to the state of Montana, where I visited with another Calvinistic family. They showed me a great time, and I caught my personal best, catching my most fish and my largest fish ever. I even have a photo to prove it. The Westboro Baptist Church achieved its notoriety when they began to picket funerals of dead soldiers in the Iraq War. Their signs of God hates fags. See, they're direct like Mark. They just come. And God hates Jews. You don't see that very much. And God hates Roman Catholics were the instruments that produced a large response of hate. What was the theology behind this rampage that went across the world? It was Calvinism. They were one of the churches that took their Calvinistic doctrine to the extreme. They were correct according to Calvinistic teachings, but Calvinism is wrong. A representative for the Funnel-Bus Westboro Baptist Church told USA Today that its members planned to picket Saturday. That was last June the 18th. Outside the funeral of two of the victims of last Sunday's shooting massacre at the gay nightclub in Orlando. Quote, "It's not about that person, it's about the whole societal phenomenon," Westboro spokesman Steve Drain of Topeka, Kansas said. Quote, "It's never been okay to be gay, and it's never going to be okay to be gay, no matter how much the spirit of the times calls for the popularity of that sin," unquote. That's a good statement. The Kansas-based church, through a lawyer, sent a letter to the Orlando Police Department spelling out plans to protest outside the Catholic Church of St. Luke on Saturday from 10:15 a.m. to 11 a.m. Members of Westboro declared the Bible stipulates that LGBT lifestyle is a sin. And they are absolutely correct. The Bible does teach without a doubt that men with men and women with women and sexual activities is a sin. In a letter dated June 16th, lawyer Rebecca Phelps Davis wrote that Westboro members are law-abiding and nonviolent and requested that police, quote, "fulfill their duty to take responsible steps to keep the peace," unquote. They also requested information on permits that are required. About six members will take part in Saturday, a couple weeks ago, protest, Strain said. A representative for the LGBT Community Center of Central Florida told the Orlando Sentinel that Westboro members can expect some pushback. Staffers at the cathedral could not be reached Thursday night, but the church has been straightforward about its support of the gay and lesbian community. The church. The Episcopal congregation published on its Facebook page that it would host a service of compassion for the LGBT and Latino community on Saturday at 6 p.m., 1 week after police said Omar Mateen walked into the Pulse nightclub, a gay establishment, and took part in one of the worst mass shootings in the United States history. The cathedral also made news last year after hosting the baptism of the child of a gay couple. The church has not yet begun the process of submitting the required permits for such a protest. Said Drain, who's of the Westboro Church, quote, "That thing that happened in Orlando, it was a very tragic thing, and it's a very sorrowful thing, but one of the aspects of the sorrow that people are missing in their kind of worldly, maudlin sentimentality is that all of those people in that whole business were doing that which God Almighty calls a sin," unquote. Counselors helping those affected by the mass shooting in Orlando share insight into recognizing needs, solutions, and why they help. The First Unitarian Church of Orlando is among those hosting counseling. "Here is one of the signs that Westboro Baptist Church," don't flip yet, Randa, "has made for the Orlando shooting and probably held it up at their demonstration." What sign do you think they made? All right, flip. "God sent the shooter to Orlando Fag Club. Thou shalt not kill." Matthew 5:21. "God sent the shooter. God still hates fags." They are direct. You got to say they're direct. The Westboro Baptist Church is made fun of by the mainstream media. They are known as, quote, "the most hated family in America," unquote. And their church is called the, quote, "most controversial church in America," unquote. There is no discussion about the doctrine of their church that says God hates Jews. It's mainly about God hates fags. But are they correct on this issue? Does God love or hate the sodomite? Open sodomites, even open lesbians, can fight in the armed forces now. Even open transgenders can fight. That was this past week. Westboro asked an important question. How can God bless the United States military if it has LGBT people in it? Soon it will have a draft for all men and women who are 18 years or older, probably to the age of 35. It now has soldiers of other races, other faiths, fighting for the democratic way of life. How can our God bless this modern day Babel military force? That is the main point Westboro Baptist Church is making, and it's being ignored. What the media is doing is making fun of the church and the people in it. It is like they are saying that these crazy people believe that God hates these different groups of people. So does he really? The church does some things wrong. That is, women leaders singing famous rock and roll songs with new words and who they say that God elects. But the media ignores the question, does God hate fags? Now we get the United Church of Christ. I don't know if you heard about them. United Church of Christ has over 5,000 congregations and about 1 million adherents. 1 million people belong to this church. And it's a congregationalist church, meaning that individual churches have substantial autonomy in matters of doctrine. The church is known for taking liberal views on issues like lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgendered rights and women's rights, that is abortion, and in 2007 attracted security after allegations invited its nonprofit status by providing a campaigning platform to then presidential candidate Barack Obama. Can't do that if you're 501c3. The United Church of Christ, a major mainline Protestant denomination, published a Facebook post telling all whites that they are racist against non-whites no matter what they do. An infographic posted to the church's Facebook page over the weekend gives white people a series of 10 tips on how to cope with their white privilege. The content of the infographic is taken from a June 1st blog post by Marjorie Greer, a social media associate for the United Church of Christ and an editor of the church's new sacred blog. In the blog post, Greer elaborates on the claim that whites are racist no matter what. Here's a quote from her. "White people always benefit from institutionalized racism, no matter how anti-racist your ideologies may be. You can't disconnect yourself completely from the racism which you benefit, and recognizing that is a large step in rejecting white privilege." Greer's post has provoked a wave of hostile comments on both Facebook and New Sacred, and she commented on Twitter that her job as social media associate is to aggressively delete many comments to protect United Church of Christ believers from being triggered. While Greer is black, the vast majority of United Church of Christ members are white. The church's website includes a page dedicated to racial justice, which defines racism as, quote, "racial prejudice plus power," unquote. This definition, which is not the one found in the dictionary, of racism is popular with some progressives and is the justification for claims that only white people can be racist and that other races can't. United Church of Christ says the exact opposite of what the Westboro Baptist Church and the Faithful Word Baptist Church stand for. They say that being a lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgendered is not a sin. But they agree with the two churches that being racist is a sin. There are a multitude of verses in the Bible that instruct the reader that sodomy is a sin, and that is an abomination to God. And there is no verse that says racism is a sin. What Bible are the people at the United Church of Christ reading? The expression racist is a modern one. Its collective counterparts, racism and racialism, emerged out of the turbulent 1930s. It came into existence in parallel with the growth and control and influence of Talmudic Judaism within the international financial world and in the international media, which Jews either owned or otherwise controlled. Let's look at what the United Church of Christ published on their Facebook. 10 ways you can actively reject your white privilege. The first one, I'll read it to you. Take up minimal space during anti-racism dialogues and protests. Two, stop contributing to, I don't know what, gentrification and calling it urban development. I don't even know what those words mean. Three, listen when people call you on your microaggressions. What is that? Four, never invite people of color to the table for the sake of claiming diversity. Five, refrain from using your non-white friends as your urban dictionary. Six, stop lifting up non-confrontational people of color as an example of what POC activism should be. Now, POC down below here has got POC people of color. Seven, call your friends, family, and coworkers out on racism, even if a person of color isn't in the room. Eight, understand that all racism doesn't look the same and advocate accordingly. Nine, realize that all discussions about race aren't for you and be okay with it. 10, recognize that you're still racist no matter what. Oh, this is too much. Oh, here's also on the website, a safe space to talk about race. This is going to be in August. Join us for a one-hour dialogue about challenging racism, supporting minority activists, and confronting microaggressions. Make sure you follow us, United Church, to keep up with the conversation. Use the hashtag, I reject racism. I'm sure this will be a good discussion group. There's only one agenda. And you look at the last sentence, I reject racism. Next thing on their website, how to be an interrupter, a white person's guide to activism against racism. One, put a Black Lives Matter sign in your yard. Oh. Two, engage with your white friends and family about racism, white frugality, and white supremacy. Three, get informed by reading books and resources written by people of color. Four, talk with your children about racism, skipping the sunshiny lie of color blindness. Five, form partnership with people of color at your child's school and agitate for equity. Six, Speak up whenever you hear a comment or joke that disparages any marginalized community. 7. Write op-eds or letters to the editor. 8. Urge your local and national LGBTQIA organizations to bring their energy and activism to the Black Lives Matter movement. 9. Call or write the local city officials in any of the cities where violence against black people is documented. There are so many. 10. Get involved with showing up for Racial Justice, a national network of white people who stand for black and brown lives. Now, we got black and now brown. 11. Seek out your local black-led organizations to find out what they're doing. And more importantly, what they need. That a Church of Christ. Where does Reading the Bible come into play, according to this church? The Bible says that God called the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah to be very grievous, Genesis 18:20. And that there weren't 10 righteous people in all of the 5 cities that were destroyed. After Lot, his wife, and his 2 daughters had left the pro-LGBT rights city and were in the city of Zoar, I'll read Genesis 19, 24, and 25. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, that and that which grew upon the ground. We have another quiz. Who destroyed all the inhabitants of the 5 cities of the plain? Was it Abraham? No. It was the Lord our God. What do you think the Lord will do when the United States acts like Sodom and Gomorrah? Here's another thing from their website. Give Out Day, encourage, support, give. Give today and help the United Church of Christ stand with the LGBTQ community every day. God is still speaking, United Church of Christ. What happened at Sodom and Gomorrah? Why were Lot and his family the only ones who escaped the destruction of these 5 cities in the plain? And every one of the good kings in the kingdom of Judah, like Josiah, who, quote, broke down the houses of the Sodomites. Doesn't anybody know what the Bible says about this issue? Oh, it's against the law to have a Bible in public schools. It's against the law to have a Bible in public court. It's against the law to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, except in times of immediate dangers in public places. It's against the law for a valedictorian to say anything Christian at his graduation speech. It's against the law for any 501c3 churches to teach anything different from what the government has stated as being politically correct. It's like the time in the ancient kingdom of Judah. America has forgotten the Holy Scriptures. America needs to forget the ball games, the rock concerts, the amusement parks. And its Christian fathers need to spend time teaching their children about their Christian heritage. When Christians quit having abortions, marrying other races, dressing immodestly and behaving otherwise immorally and making idol worship of movie stars, singers, high school, college, and professional athletes, and so on, they then need to start acting the way that a Christian is supposed to act. Now we'll go to the Southern Baptist Convention. A diverse panel of Baptist pastors said that racial reconciliation, see those 2 words? That was what was used in South Africa about 10 years ago. Racial reconciliation rests at the doorsteps of the church and only can be achieved through the gospel in action. This was said at the latest Southern Baptist Convention meeting. President Ronnie Floyd, who's a Caucasian, convened the panel, which included National Baptist Convention USA President Jerry Young, who's a Negro. The two have collaborated for months to put talk into action and actually achieved racial reconciliation in a racially troubled America. Here's a quote. Being together here at this significant moment in America where racial disunity is occurring, and few are speaking into this discussion, it is our responsibility as the Church of Jesus Christ to resound the power of the gospel and the unconditional love of Christ for all people into this conversation, unquote. Floyd said in introducing the 9-member panel, including African American, Hispanic, Anglo, American Indian, and Asian pastors of varying ages. He's got a whole big diversity of pastors. It is our responsibility to have this historic conversation today for our present and for our future. Floyd said of the panel, titled, A National Conversation on Racism in America. He called Young, a chief speaker at the event, a dear friend. Floyd, the pastor of New Hope Baptist Church in Jackson, Mississippi, said racism is a sin problem. Now that's a major step. That means it's against God's law. That can only be solved by the people God has put in place to offer the healing salvation of the gospel. Now, Marshall Blaylock, a black pastor of the First Baptist Church in Charleston, South Carolina, said, only the gospel can eliminate racism. That presents a major problem. Because why is that also the very same mission of the New World Order Secular Girl Scouts? To eliminate racism. And the Girl Scouts do not teach that the gospel is what will eliminate racism. H.B. Charles, black pastor of Silo Metropolitan Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, said, racism is rooted in sin. The church is asleep. Yes, it is, as Jonah was asleep as the storm raged the sea. Charles said, and the Lord is trying to wake the church up. David Oriental senior pastor of Antioch Baptist Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and chaplain at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, said the smartest people in the world have invented no cure for racism. Racism is just another sin. Floyd described the Southern Baptist Convention as the most multi-ethnic and multilingual denomination in America, with over 10,000 of the 51,000 churches and mission churches holding non-Anglo majority memberships. So about 20% of the churches hold non-Anglo majority memberships. Of almost 1,000 churches planted in America 2 years ago, 58% were non-Anglo, Floyd said. He failed to mention something. The convention has lost over 200,000 members in the last couple of years. Good for that. I believe that the issue of racism is from Satan and the demonic forces of hell. Floyd told hundreds gathered at Mission Mississippi's racial reconciliation celebration at the Jackson Convention Center. Racism is completely opposite from the message of Jesus Christ. I got a problem with that statement. It is completely opposite of the message of love. It is completely opposite of the message of dignity. value, and sanctity of human life. It is completely opposite of the message of reconciliation. How did this guy get to be president of the Southern Baptist Convention? Floyd spoke to Southern Baptists, National Baptists, and others at the event aimed at exhorting and energizing pastors in the church to demonstrate the love of God in ending racism in Mississippi and the nation. Maybe that's why Mississippi had all those national disasters. They too have the same mission as the Girl Scouts. One of the reasons I came to this city was to notify Satan and his demonic forces that enough is enough, Floyd said. The power of God is greater than the forces of evil, even the evils of racism, because greater is he who is in us than is in the world. He called pastors to action, shunning passivity and silence. It is now that the Church of Jesus Christ must rise. We must rise together as one. We are not black churches. We are not white churches. We are not Latino churches. And we're not Asian churches. And we're not any kind of church. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. That's who we are, and our hope for racism to end in this country is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, unquote. The Southern Baptist Convention recently imperially decreed that racism is a sin. The Bible declares that sin is the transgression of the law. Where in the Bible does it declare the God, in God's law that even hints that racism is a sin? Baptists for hundreds of years taught that racism was of God, and now they teach it is a sin with no scripture to back them up. The Baptists even say this is so, and they repented of what they used to teach, saying it was of the devil. How could they say that anything is a sin when they teach the law of God was put away by his death? What do you think that the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention of Churches believes about Christian identity? This is quite a charge, as he must believe the Christian identity believers are his religion's enemy, as they teach what he says. What he says is the demon's doctrine. But didn't the enemies of Jesus Christ accuse him of being the devil? Now we go to our favorite group, who this week will open up the ark. Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis teaches that homosexuality is wrong. And it uses the scriptures to state its case. To ask the question, does recognition of civil rights for all people require the normalization of homosexuality and the legalization of same-sex marriage? But they are wrong on the issue of racism. They say, and again I quote them, the Bible says nothing about the amount of melanin in the skin as a criterion for either being a human or for becoming a child of God through faith in Christ. They use Galatians 3, 25 through 29. Oh, particularly verse 28. After all, Philip ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40, who was almost certainly very dark skin. That's from one blog, The Biblical Answer to Racism, page 113. Is that true? Was the Ethiopian what? Eunuch? A dark-skinned Negro? He was the financial officer for Queen Sheba. He had gone to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. Now, how many dark-skinned Negroes have you read about in the Bible that went to Jerusalem to worship the Lord? It is forbidden for them to get near the tabernacle and later the temple on penalty of death. I quoted Numbers 151. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites take it down. And when the tabernacle be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger, that's not an Israelite, who cometh near shall be put to death. What about the sentence about the amount of linen needed to become a child of God? Acts 3:25. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. The Bible seems to be very plain that the underlying words speak of a genetic family. The Ethiopic eunuch was of that seed of Abraham through Jacob. And what was a eunuch? The eunuchs of the Bible were usually castrated males and those incapable of reproduction due to a birth defect. The purpose of intentional castration was to induce impotence and remove sexuality. It was a common practice in ancient times for rulers to castrate some of their servants and or advisors in order to subdue and pacify them. It was especially common to castrate men who tended to the royal harem. Eunuchs are never referred to in Scripture as being in sin. While homosexuality is universally condemned in both the Old and the New Testaments. On the back cover of this horrendous book, One Beloved, The Biblical Answer to Racism, it says, quote, more than half a century has passed since the horrors of the Nazi racial extermination camps were revealed to a disbelieving world. Yet the battle of ethnic hate and violence remains one of the burning issues of our time, unquote. So I Googled, I wrote, who was in the Nazi concentration camps? Here's what I found. It wasn't just Jews. Found 13 groups of people. Jews, Jehovah's Witnesses, Freemasons. Would it be good if we put all Freemasons in a concentration camp? Be people from every city in America would go in there because they have temples in every, lodges in every city. Homosexuals, communists, Roma gypsies. When I was in Romania, I came across the gypsies. We had to stop at the railroad track. The gypsies were out there asking for money. And they have the most pathetic-looking person. So they stopped there. Well, we have to wait 10 or 15 minutes. So I took out a dollar and gave it to the person. And the Romanian guy went ballistic. Oh, don't do that. He says, at birth, when a child's born, they take the child and break his arm or leg and make him deformed. It's because it's a good way to raise money. Roman Catholic priest and some Christian pastor. Don't you think that'd be good to put him in the concentration camp? Hey, that'd be great. I like that. Look at the next one. People in interracial marriages, now they had a choice, who refused to separate from their strange foreign spouses. If they didn't separate from them, they were put in the concentration camp. Hey, that's a good idea. Who did?
Ezra.
Yes. Trade unionists, mentally and physically handicapped persons, resistance fighters, political prisoners, and Boy and Girl Scout leaders. I haven't heard about all these people. Now, let's ask a question here. Which groups of people do you think that the Nazis were wrong in putting into their concentration camps? Which ones do you think they were right in taking them out of the German society? Do you think that they would have a gay pride day parade in Nazi Germany like we did last week in Cincinnati and in Orlando every year? Well, they were on the concentration camp. Would there be an onslaught of interracial marriages? I read where it's 16% now in America, as there is in the United States today. The same is true for same-sex marriages. Would Germany be overrun with Muslim refugees today if they were still in power? What is Ken Ham referring to about the horrors of the racial concentration camps in Germany? There was no LGBT pride in Germany when Hitler was in power. For if they were found out, they were put in the concentration camps. Wooden Westboro Baptist Church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, and Answers Genesis all agree with this part of German history. Now I'll talk about the Roman Catholic Church. We can't leave them out. Antichrist Pope Francis said Sunday that Christians owe apologies to gays and others who have been offended or exploited by the church. Remarks that some Catholics hailed as a breakthrough in the Roman Catholic Church's tone towards homosexuality. I repeat what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, that they must not be discriminated against, that they must be respected and accompanied pastorally. Francis said at a press conference aboard the papal plane returning from Armenia. The church must ask for forgiveness for not behaving many times. Which I say the church, I mean Christians. The church is holy, we are sinners. The Antichrist Pope apologized to the Jewish people in the year 2000. Now the Jesuit Pope has apologized to the LGBT people. The head of the Catholic Church is Jewish. And they've never apologized for slaughtering the millions and millions of Christians that they killed. Now, my conclusion. There are plenty of places in the Old and New Testament where God instituted racism and commanded separation. All people are not the same. And he died for only one people. God commanded the Canaanites to be completely destroyed. Not even an attempt to have one converted. God routinely commanded the Israelites to separate from all their foreign wives and send them and all their mongrel children away forever. After the kingdom of Judah's return from one of the captivities, when the mixed Canaanite, Moabite, Ammonite people in the land of Israel said they wanted to help them rebuild the temple and worship their God with them, Zerubbabel and the high priest replied, "You have nothing to do with us or our God. We don't need your help." About 70 years later, just a few centuries before Christ, Ezra and Nehemiah command the people to put away all their alien wives and their Mongol offspring. The bottom line is this. Practically nothing has happened in the Bible, almost none of the wars, coronation or countries, were in Southern Africa, Asia, Northern America, South America, and very little in Europe. The bottom line is this. The claim that racism is a sin. Of course, it is also hypocritical for those to think that God abolished his law. For if there is no law, there is no sin. How can the majority of Christian churches teach there is pride and living the lifestyle of a lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, and it's not a sin? We believe that the Bible calls it a major sin. How can the Christian churches teach that racism is sin? We believe that racism is the major theme of the Bible. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.